Man, well, today I'm wrapping up this series on the Psalms, and next week we'll have Pastor John Sprecher here, who is one of our external elders from the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. Awesome man of God, been a blessing to me and to the church, and so he always has a great word for us, and so be ready for that. But today, as we wrap up the Psalms, I'm preaching on the blessed life. You know, in life, I've heard a lot of people, as they're doing things, as they're going along, as things are going well, a lot of people, their motivation is they want to live their best life, right? You ever heard that? I'm living my best life. That's when you're doing what you want, things are going well. And usually when I hear that, my initial thought is, well, good for you, living your best life. Like, that's good. You need to live your best life. But I wonder if we have the right idea sometimes of what the best life really is. I believe that God wants you to live your best life. Amen? I really do. I believe he wants you to live the life that is best for you. But I also believe that the best life is the blessed life. And we can't leave that out. See, a lot of people are running around living what they think is their best life. However, it's not a life that has been blessed by God. And so today we're going to look at this in Psalm 1 and discover what the blessed life is that truly is the best life. So Psalm chapter 1, if you want to turn there, it'll be on the screen behind me as well. It goes like this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be planted, or he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The psalmist starts out with, blessed is the man. This blessed life. See, in life we tend to think that blessed means that I have a lot of things, right? That God has allowed me to have a lot of money. He's allowed me to have a lot of things. He's allowed me to be happy. But if you understand what blessed means here, that it actually means something beyond that. It means to be under God's favor, but also to have his joy. So blessed is the man that is under God's favor, the man who is filled with his joy. And this is the difference between what the world calls the best life, which is usually code for I'm doing what I want, I'm doing what makes me happy, and the alternative of the blessed life is a life where we don't just do what we want, but we do what God wants, what makes him happy. And in return for that, we receive his favor and we receive his joy. And so when the psalmist tells us about this blessed man, he starts off by telling us what not to do, right? I know as a kid, I had a lot of rules of what not to do. There wasn't a whole lot of things that I was told to do, but there was a lot of things I was told not to do. And when you think about being blessed, I think we leave that not to do list behind, because blessing means I'm receiving something more, receiving something additional. But here's the thing, is to really understand the good news, you have to know the bad news, right? This is why preaching the gospel, even to a room, if you're all saved, preaching the gospel is still important, because we have to be reminded of the bad news, that without Christ, we're all sinners deserving of hell, and we need a savior, right? We have to understand that to understand what Christ did on the cross and how amazing and magnificent that good news truly is, that he died to save us. Amen? We got to understand that if you want to know God's love really fully, you have to know God's wrath. right? You had to know the bad news to know the good news. So this psalmist starts out by telling them what not to do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If you want the blessed life, you've got to be careful not to slip into this pattern of behavior. What this psalmist is describing here is really a progression or a regression into sin. He starts with, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And many of you guys are like, well, I'm not going to take the counsel and the advice of the ungodly. But counsel here literally means their viewpoint or their way of thinking. Now, how many times do we get pulled into, sucked into the viewpoint or the way of thinking of the ungodly? Turn on your TV, folks. Turn on your TV and you're going to get pulled into the viewpoint or the way of thinking of the ungodly. I don't even care if the person is saying they're a Christian. They're probably really not. I mean, just look at the news. Look at the media. What do we allow to be the voices in our lives? What do we allow to be the experts in different fields that affect the way that we live? Who do we consider to be our mentors? Who do we consider to be our role models? The voices that you listen to, church, they shape the way that you think. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't listen to an opposing point of view. In fact, I think it's good for us to know opposing point of views. I'm saying you got to be careful here not to begin to walk in that viewpoint and in that line of thinking of the ungodly. Listen, what you do comes from what you think. And if you start to let the ungodly influence what you think, it will start to influence what you do. You don't find favor and you don't find the joy of the Lord in counsel from people who don't even know him. That don't even know him. Listen, if I'm going to get advice from somebody, I'm just going to tell you, most of the advice I get in my life is from the people in this room, from a few other pastors that I know, people I know and trust that they are going to give me godly counsel, godly wisdom, things that I can trust and I can test against the word of God. Listen, if you walk in the way of thinking of those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it will not lead you to a blessed life. It will not lead you down the path of blessing. So if you start to walk this way in their thinking, it does something else. Like I said, it's a progression to sin or a regression into sin. It starts to lead you to this place of standing in their path. And the psalmist said, the blessed man does not stand in the path of sinners. I don't know if you've ever really thought about that, but I thought about that, and I thought, man, I mean, what's so bad about standing in the path of sinners? Isn't that what Jesus did? Right? This is the argument that you'll hear a lot. Jesus went and stood in the path of sinners, right? I mean, he surrounded himself by them. But listen, you got to follow this progression. If you begin to think the way that sinners think, begin to think the way that the world thinks, these wrong thinkings, again, will lead to wrong actions. But here's the thing, is the next thing you know, you'll find yourself standing alongside those people that think that way. You'll begin to find yourself standing for the things of the world over the things of God. These voices that you listen to are the ones you will begin to follow. Listen, church, the path of sinners leads away from Christ. It doesn't lead to Christ. It leads away from Christ. It leads away from blessing because it leads to a path of death and destruction. If you start to think like the world, you'll begin to stand with the world. And then I'm going to tell you, you'll begin to sit in the world. And you see this third piece here that he warns us of. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, scornful, for most of you, you're like, I don't even understand that word. What does that even mean? It simply means a mocker, right? If you're reading a different translation, it might even say mocker. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of a mocker. This is the tragedy of a person that starts down this path. He hears the viewpoint of the world that's contrary to God's. He begins to walk that way and begins to stand with the world, and the next thing you know, he's sitting in the seat of a mocker. I know many of you are like, I would never be in the seat of a mocker. I would never be someone who would mock God. I want to warn you today, church, that there are churches, people of God meeting right now, this morning. They may have sang the same songs that we just sang, and they mock God. You want to know how? Somebody say yes. If you don't say yes, I'll just pack it up and leave. They mock God when they say that his word is outdated and it's no longer relevant today. Right? Have you heard this? There are churches that say this. That's mocking God. They mock God when they say things like there is no hell. Right? They mock God when they say that all religions and all paths lead to heaven. That's mocking God, church. They mock God when they say that sin is not a sin because they want to live the way they want to live, free from consequences, so they think. They mock God when they try to change the definition of different sins that he specifically talks about in the Bible, and people get on the internet and everybody's a Google warrior and they're like, well, I Googled that word and the Greek doesn't mean that. Yes, it does, because you have to also learn how to apply context to a word. But they mock God with these things. Church, in Galatians tells us, do not be deceived. Say, do not be deceived. Can I tell you that this is a word to the church? In Galatia, Paul writes, church, don't be deceived, but God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Don't be deceived into thinking you can stand against God, because when you're sowing that kind of lifestyle, you will reap the consequences of that lifestyle. If you stand against God, you will lose, church. Amen? We will lose if we stand against God. If you mock him, you'll reap what you sow. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit will still convict you. The fact is that Jesus one day will still judge you. And the fact of the matter is that his word is still the truth that you will be judged by. That's what people don't understand, that are mocking God and they're saying that they're saved by grace through faith, but the word doesn't apply anymore. Listen, if you're not really saved by faith in Jesus Christ, then the word is exactly what you will be judged by. That's terrifying, church. It's terrifying to stand against the word and say that you are covered under the blood of the Lamb. Listen, he is the word. He is the word of God. You can't be against the word of God and be for Jesus. It just doesn't work like that. There will be consequences for sin. Can I tell you this morning that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus, the living word. The other ways lead to hell. That's a fact. Don't fall into this regression of sin. Notice there's a pattern there. You walk, then you stand, then you sit. Think about that pattern. When you're passing by somebody at Menards or Rule King or something, right? If I'm passing by somebody, if I'm just walking alongside and I talk to them for a moment, but I'm, right, I still got my mind on my mission, I'm going to get what I'm going to get, a lot of times I'll be like, well, it's good seeing you, I'm going this way, right? It's easy to get away when you're still walking. But if they get you to stop, you're in trouble, right? If you start to stand and you're talking and you get that foot up and you're starting to lean on something, it's getting harder and harder and harder to get away. Now if you're at Rule King or Menards or something, they got furniture, and the next thing you know is you're sitting down and talking to that person, you are deep-rooted, you are there probably way longer than what you want to be, and you're probably never getting out of it unless the store is closing. Right? This is how that progression works in the spirit, is that we begin to believe those things of the world, that mindset of the world. The next thing you know, it's not just that we're walking along next to it where we can easily veer off the other way. The next thing you know, we stop and we stand in its presence. We begin to stand for that cause, and the next thing you know, we're sitting down in it, and we're mocking God just like everybody else. I'm telling you, it's a destructive pattern that we have to be aware of, because it says that that's not what the blessed man looks like. Listen, there's people in the church that are in this right now because they're brainwashed by the media. There's little to no difference in many places between the churched and the unchurched. Can I tell you that that's frightening? It's frightening when there's no difference between the people in the church and out of the church. It's not that the people in the church are better. It's that the people in the church are supposed to be following Jesus and going out there and setting the example that there's a better way. Not let me come alongside you on your way and maybe as we're doing these sinful things, I can convince you. They're like, well, what are you doing? You're here with me, right? We're supposed to look different. You're supposed to be the person that's being mocked, not being a mocker. Martin Luther said the devil's strategy is not to martyr the saints, but just to get them to fall asleep. Right? Just to get them to fall asleep. Just take it easy. Let their guard down. You won't find the blessed life in the ways of the world. Not in their way of thinking, not in standing with them, and surely not in mocking our Creator. So that's what the blessed man is not. Let's look at what the blessed man is. Verse 2, it says, but this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. If you want the blessed life, if you want the favor of God and the joy of God, it's not found in taking advice from the ungodly, but it's found from taking advice from his word. The blessed man is eager, right, to learn what does God say? What are God's commands? And the blessed man is eager to obey God's word, knowing not that it's rules and regulations and things we got to follow, but knowing that it leads us down the path to the blessed life. Can I tell you, this is a process that we grow into. It's not just an instant thing, this growing into the blessed life. It's a process. You know, I've heard people say that I try to read my Bible and I just can't. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Can I tell you? Been there, done that. Because I don't like to read. I just don't like to read, period. I don't like to read. I don't like to write. But here's the thing, is you can say that you don't like to read the Bible. You can say that maybe you don't get anything out of it, but I can tell you that when you're out of shape physically, when you really evaluate yourself and you're like, all right, you know what? It's time for me to get in shape. How many of you guys have ever done this? And you're like, I'm going to start exercising tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Start today. Okay, start today. You start exercising and you're like, man, this is fun, right? Isn't that what we all think? No, we're like, this is terrible. This is awful. I don't ever want to do this again. And if you choose to never do it again, are you going to get in shape? No. You have to go back the next day, and you got to press forward through the pain, through the discomfort. Even if you don't like it, you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. But what happens? There becomes a point. Josh can probably be a lot better testimony to this than what I can, because I keep starting, I'm going to work out next Monday, over and over. So I'm not telling you this from experience, I'm telling you from somebody else's experience. But when we think about this, there comes this point where we begin to get healthier. You begin to get a little more in shape, and what you find is that you actually enjoy doing the very thing that at first you did not like doing. Can I tell you that reading the Word of God is like this? If you don't like it, if you don't enjoy it, at first, press forward, keep going, keep reading, keep seeking, keep asking, because there will come a point where you start to get a little healthier and a little more fit spiritually, and you will find that you really love and enjoy digging into the Word of God. Listen, church, it takes perseverance. It takes setting your mind to it that I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to keep going. It starts with obedience. Read God's Word, then you can trust the process. continue in it, meditate on it, think about it. You'll begin to delight in God's word. Can I tell you that when you delight in God's word, that it does not mean you will like everything that you read in it? Anybody testify to that? Sometimes there's things I read in there, I don't like that. Why? Because I don't want that today, right? I don't want to listen to that. But listen, you may not like everything you read, but as you mature and you grow spiritually, you begin to come to this point that you realize that when you and the Bible disagree, listen, God still wins, right? It's still truth. It's still right. It's still what's best for you because it's truth. And so this blessed life, this finding God's joy and his favor, this doesn't just come as a result of just simply reading the Bible, but it's more of the result of the process that God takes you through as you begin to take in his word and you begin to let it change you and transform you. In this process, you will find his joy and his favor. The blessed man in Psalm verse 3 says that he will be like a tree. He'll be planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This describes a sturdy person, a solid person, planted by the water. This word for planted here, what I love about it is it actually means transplanted by the water. It doesn't mean that you go down by the water and you just decide you're going to plant yourself there. It means that you were transplanted because it shows this picture of the fact that God takes this man that is loving and delighting in the word. He takes that man and he uproots him from where he was and he puts him where he should be, which is planted by the river of living water. Rooted and grounded in Christ, with the rivers of living water nourishing your soul, with the Spirit of God constantly refreshing you, that God takes you from your old place and transplants you to that place of the blessed life. It says that if you're in that place that you'll be fruitful, right? Because it said you'll bring forth fruit in its season. And this is the problem with producing fruit. It's not the harder you try, the more you will produce. It's just that you're a tree that bears it. You just have to be willing and allowing for God to be able to work through you because he produces the fruit. You got to be connected to Jesus, right? Connected to the source of life, nourished by the Spirit. But then it says that the fruit will be produced in its season. You know what I love about having Franks down here is like, you got like peach season, and then you got apple season, right? And like you look forward to those things. You're like, is the sign out? They got apples, right? And then when you miss that season, you're kind of like, man, in the dead of winter, I'm like, I could really go for some Honeycrisp apples from Frank's right now. And you go buy the ones from Aldi, and they taste like a ball of wax. And you're like, you can't wait until the season that you can get them from Frank's again, right? Fruit has a season. I think there's times in our lives where we're so hard on ourselves and we're so trying to produce something that's just not there right now because it's not the season. What your job is to be like a tree that's planted by the water, delighting in the word of God, and in its season, God will produce that fruit through your life. Your responsibility is not to produce, it's to be connected to the vine. And God does the producing in your life in the right season. Listen, we're all different. Amen? We're all different. We all have different giftings and things. We all have different fruit that we produce at different times in our lives. We've got to stop trying to be someone else. Well, they're producing that fruit right now. Well, maybe it's the season for them, but it's not the season for you. Just work on being connected. Focus on taking in the word of God and the Spirit of God and letting him begin to produce through you in the right season. The second thing is we'll be fulfilled when we're that tree planted by the water. How are we fulfilled? It says that a leaf also shall not wither. When you think about something that withers, it withers for a reason. A withered leaf is a sign of some kind of disease, some kind of malnutrition. It's a sign of lack. It's proof that something is missing. This leaf needs something. But see, if we live this life that is planted by the water, that is delighting in the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, this is a life that is one that knows no lack. It's one that will be fulfilled. You won't be a withered leaf. You won't be lacking nourishment. You won't be lacking what you need. You won't have disease, but you'll be whole and full of God. You'll have all that you need. Listen, even in the hardships and the storms of life. The third thing is, says that this tree will be effective. How will it be effective? It says, whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever, who wants that? Whatever you do will prosper. Hallelujah, sign me up for that. This prosper doesn't mean success in the world's eyes. Remember, there's this distinction that we're looking at today with the difference between the best life and the blessed life. It's not necessarily going to give you the best life from a worldly standpoint. It's not going to be succeeding in money and status and things, but instead it will be success and being effective in achieving all that God has laid out for you to do. All that God has for you to do. You'll be effective the way that God desires for the things that impact eternity, that go beyond our short life on this earth. This church is how you live a blessed life. Verse 4, it tells us, but the ungodly are not so. But instead, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly are not so. They're not so what? They're not so fruitful. They're not so fulfilled. They're not so effective. They're not so living a blessed life. Now, when you consider this word, ungodly, how many of you guys, you hear that word and it just like, you just don't like it, right? I don't like that word, ungodly. It kind of, like, I think of something that's ungodly, I think of something that's horrible, terrible, just wretched, like as bad as it could possibly be. And I think that's where a lot of our minds tend to go. And we start to think about, that's the really bad people, right? That's the people that, man, of course they're not going to be fruitful and effective and fulfilled. I mean, think about how bad those kind of people really are. I mean, I think when we think about this kind of word, we think about people that are imprisoned for really heinous crimes. But I want to tell you this word ungodly, it does mean wicked, but it also means something that I believe has even more and greater meaning. It means a guilty one or a criminal. It means one who is guilty of crime. See, when it says the ungodly, it's not just talking about murderers and pedophiles, right? That's where our mind tends to go in the natural, but in the supernatural, it's talking about all who are guilty of breaking God's law. All who are guilty of breaking God's law, every person who's ever lived but has not chosen Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It says all of those people, they're ungodly because they're guilty. They're criminals because they broke God's law. If you're not born again, you're ungodly. That's just the fact of the matter. I'm not trying to be hard or try to be mean. It's just the truth of the Word of God. It says that you're not going to be fruitful. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be effective, and you're not going to live a blessed life. It says that those who are not in Christ, there's some characteristics that they find. They find that they're rootless, right? Because it says they're like chaff. When they would put the grain on the threshing floor and they would stomp it out and the grain would weigh more and would fall down, the chaff would get blown away, right? It's not rootless. It doesn't have any weight to it. There's nothing substantial to it that would hold it in with the rest. And if you are rootless You find yourself not having roots in something bigger than you, which is the living God, and you find that you begin to dry up and you just go wherever the wind blows you. Listen, there's people that say they live by the Spirit like that. I just go wherever the wind blows me. Well, that could be true, but you better make sure that you're reading the Word of God and it lines up with what God has for you as well. Those who are not in Christ are defenseless. It says that they won't stand in judgment. They've lived only for themselves, and when they're called to stand for their life and their actions and their decisions, it says they won't have a leg to stand on their own. Those who are not in Christ are peopleless. It says that they won't stand in the congregation of the righteous because they live only for themselves. They won't have a community of support in that days. Listen, when Jesus is sorting the sheep from the goats, there's going to be something that's going to happen. On the right, when he sends the sheep, those people are all going to huddle together. On the left, when he separates the goats, those people are all going to be looking out for themselves. How do I get over there? Right? How do I get out of this situation? The sheep are going to be like, hey, welcome. We're so glad you guys are here. Praise God. I was hoping to see you here. Right? But if you're outside of Christ, you'll be peopleless. You'll be on your own. It says that the fourth thing is you'll be lifeless. It says the way of the ungodly will perish. It says ultimately the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Those who persist in following this path will meet an obvious end. Church, this is the fruit of the best life that the world has to offer. Hear me now. The world, apart from Christ, this is the best that it can offer you, is an end that is rootless, an end that is defenseless, an end that is peopleless, and an end that is lifeless. It may look good right here and right now, but we know in the end, what many would call the best life is no life at all. It's no life at all, church. There will be a day where we'll stand before our Creator, either at our death or, hallelujah, hopefully for most of us, at Jesus' return. Amen? I'm hoping for that. I'm choosing that path, Lord, if I get a choice. But will we be able to say that we lived the blessed life like a tree planted by the water? That I was by that water, I was planted and rooted in Christ. I was soaking up the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and I was living this life that was fruitful, one that was fulfilled, one that was effective, one that was truly full of the joy of God and the favor of God in everything that I did. Will we be able to say that in those days? Church, that's the best life right there. Isn't that what we're all really looking for anyway? To be fruitful, right? To be able to produce things that are lasting in our lives? Aren't we all looking to be in this place where we find ourselves fulfilled, right? Where we feel good, we feel great when we lay our head on our pillow at night, fulfilled? Don't we all want to be effective in the things that we do, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't do a lot of things if I thought there was no way I was going to be effective. If I'm not going to be effective in doing something, it's not worth my time. But church, we're living whole entire lives, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years of not being effective. Many people are, because they're not living the blessed life that has Jesus as Lord. This morning, if you guys would stand with me, if you want to stay seated, you still can, but if you want to stand, as we get ready to close in worship, I just want you to consider a few things this morning. If you would close your eyes, I just want you to just think about these things. Are you this morning, are you in this place where you're living the blessed life? If you are, praise God and praise Him for it, seriously, in all honesty, praise Him for it today. God, we thank You for those who are living the blessed life. We thank You for those who have answered the call and said yes to Jesus. We thank You so much for every one of them. Today, will You fill them afresh and use them for your purpose, for your goodness, for your glory. God, will you use them to help to show others that the blessed life truly is the best life? Some of you this morning, maybe you're feeling that shame of knowing that you've chosen the best life. Not the blessed life, just the best life, what the world has to offer. This morning I want to tell you that Jesus is in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And his hope, his desire, his heart is that all would come to repentance. That every single person would see the fact that the best life that the world has to offer doesn't compare to the blessed life that he offers, and that we would all choose to turn away from that worldly lifestyle to follow Jesus. That today it's not too late for you, that there is hope for you, that all you have to do is answer the call. All you have to do is say, yes, Jesus, today I choose to follow you. If that's you, we're going to open the altars here in just a moment. I want you to come down. Let me pray with you. Let me believe with you. You got to contend for the faith. It may be uncomfortable. It may be something you don't necessarily want to do. But will you give Jesus a try? Maybe you're one who's drifting toward the world's position. You're in that place where your mind's at that battle where you keep believing the world's viewpoints and you're struggling between what the world says and what the Word says. Can I tell you that there's only one of those paths that lead to life? That today's the day to have the strongholds broken off. That the things that we believe, Lord, let it be truly rooted and grounded in your word, the living truth. Lord God, I just pray that today as people come forward, if they have that torment in their mind where they're going back and forth between what the world says and what the word says, that today that you would silence the voice of the enemy in their lives and that you would reveal the truth of God to their hearts. Some of you need to realize and understand right here, right now, that it's not about you being good. Can I tell you that God doesn't ask you to be good? What he requires is for you to be perfect, and you can't. But Jesus already has been perfect in your place. And he says that all you got to do today is trust him. You just got to trust him. The only way to salvation is trust in Jesus. The only way for a blessed life is to be found in him. And so today, will you choose the blessed life? Father, we ask that right now as we open up the altars that you would speak to our hearts. Reveal to us what you desire of us. It's not about pleasing a man or pleasing a people group, Lord God, but we want to please you. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you knock on the door to our heart? Would you begin to reveal to us the things that we need right now, the things that we should seek you and ask you for right now, and that we believe, God, that you are a God who answers prayer. We believe that you are a God who can change and shift and transform any line of thinking or any hurt or pain that has been done, that you can undo it and you can heal it right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to believe for that this morning. And so, church, right now as we open up the altars, I just want to encourage you to come. Encourage you to come and seek whatever it is that God is leading you to right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him.